This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
It's Sal Capaccio.
Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio.
On WGR.
Welcome back. Mike Schopen, the Bulldog, Sal Capaccio. I'm in the studio. Bulldog's at home. I don't know where Sal is. Could be home. Could be Australia. Could be in his car. You never know. I'm watching baseball. Sal and I texted a little baseball on Monday as he and I both watched the end of A's-Yankees, where the A's, who are just like a joke, they have a closer, Mason Miller, who hits like, I don't know, Sal, like 103, 104? What does this guy hit? Like, he just, yep. You might have seen it too, Bulldog. He goes in ninth inning, protecting a lead, and blows away Soto and Judge. Pretty good.
Yep.
So, I've got the...
I can't wait to see what they trade him
for. I did watch it.
You can't wait to see who they trade him for.
You're exactly right. You know what I kept thinking was, this is exactly the guy the Yankees need. They should just go trade for him. Oh, my God.
I think
he was blowing these guys away. It was amazing.
Any minute, they'll be sending a low-A prospect to Oakland for Mason Miller. So, Mets and Giants in the second. I don't think there's any score. Now you know that. All right, Sal. So, I'm just, anxious, thinking about random things when not obsessing about the draft tomorrow night. What is your latest guess or, insight-driven analysis here? What you think will happen tomorrow? So much talk about wide receiver, more talk about trading up of late. Where are your chips here when it comes to the Bills?
First of all, let me say I am in Studio Capaccio, which has become basically my war room for the last little while here. I've kind of been, getting everything put together here. I have my first mock, my only mock. I do one mock every year, generally. I think might have done two a year or two ago. I have one mock draft that I post, no trades. That's up at WGR550.com. I would say that I agree with you, Mike. I have not moved off a lot of what I've said. What I'm going to say about what I think the Bills are going to do sounds a lot like what I've said about what the Bills are going to do for the last several months, quite frankly. And actually, over the last half hour, I've been thinking about that, which is, boy, I can't remember really. I guess I could say 2 years ago, actually, with Corner. Corner was like this 2 years ago, if you remember, with the Kyrie Elam pick. But very rarely do we have a year where, for really the whole offseason, it's this is the spot they're going to draft. Not that they should, that they're going to. Like, we are kind of seeing it happen, unfold before our eyes. And on top of that, very rarely do you get this kind of universal consensus from fans and media, local and national, of what they're going to do, which is draft a wide receiver. I think at this point, I would just be stunned if it's any other position. And I still believe, as I've said for months, that they would probably have an appetite to even move up to do it.
You know, if I can just jump in here and add to that, I think one thing about this year's projections that has been, I would say, unusual for a team, it's always the Bills we're focused on, of course, picking so late that you see the same two or three names pretty much everywhere, which, maybe that wasn't true last year or even the Elam year, like even when you think you know a position, but that sort of confidence in position, need for the Bills plus the number of potential candidates there, you might think still it would be lots of different names. Certainly, we've talked about lots of different names, but it's kind of like, I feel like 70% of the time I open a mock draft, it's A.D. Mitchell to the Bills. So, I don't know, like a lot of sameness for a team picking so late. They're not picking third here where you would see the same two or three names only.
Agreed. I would say in that draft, that 2022 draft where they picked Kyrie Elam, it was, I think they really liked Trent McDuffie. We know what happened. The Chiefs took him at 21. If you guys remember, Kyler Gordon was a really big name that year. Andrew Booth Jr., remember him from Clemson? Like, those were the guys. I think Roger McCreary was in there, now that I pull up the list a little bit here and look at those names. But you're right. I mean, it was kind of that group. And it feels like the same thing here with wide receiver. I agree, Mike, which is and that speaks to the depth of the position, right? I mean, like, you get to 28, it's not like, boy, if they don't get one of these top four, I don't know what they're going to do. It's, if they don't get one of the top four, they still have a lot of guys to choose from, and maybe even trade down and still have a bunch of these guys to choose from. That's what makes, you know, this group and this draft a little bit more unique, considering they're picking at 28. Now, when I say universal consensus, of course there are people who believe they should not draft a wide receiver. I've heard from them today. There are people who believe that they won't do that. I've seen mock drafts. I just saw one today that's had them taking Johnny Newton, a defensive lineman. I've seen mock drafts and heard from people who say they should draft Cooper DeJean because they need an all-encompassing defensive back like him. While I respect those players, I just don't see it. I think this is laser-focused at wide receiver. It has been ever since we have heard from the very first postseason press conference, Sean McDermott and Brandon Bean talk about player acquisition is going to be focused on explosive plays and dynamic ability and guys who can do things with the ball in their hands.
Yeah, I mean, for me, Sal, I thought back in January, I don't know when Mike and I made this bet about what their first round pick would be, offense or defense, but I know it was a while ago. I felt receiver for the whole time. What amped it up for me was when the Diggs trade happened. I feel like, I'm looking at Brandon Bean, and we've been here for every one of his picks that he's made. And does that guy running a team strike you as someone who's going to sit back and just see what falls to him after creating a pretty significant hole on his roster? And I know that, you know, that Curtis Samuel and Mac Hollins, and I know how Bean sounds. That to me is all just cover for, like, the news conference Thursday night after they make this pick, whenever it is, however early or late it is, I can hear him saying, like, yeah, I knew I had to replace Stephon Diggs, guys. Like, I had to replace Stephon, yeah, and Gabe Davis for that matter. So, like, everything, the world opened up to me after the Diggs trade. Like, I could see them going, yep, crazy big. I could see them going moderate. I could see them trading for a veteran, whatever it is. All that stuff, it got even more attention and more realistic after the Diggs trade.
Yeah, you make the right point too, which is they actively made themselves worse by trading Stephon Diggs. Right. And the GM said, we're not as good of a team today, but it's a long off season and we have time. I think that's his way of saying, like, I know what I'm doing. I'm doing this because I have a plan. Mm-hmm. Well, I don't see how anything with that plan can be anything but I'm going to acquire a guy, you know, in the NFL draft in the first round. They lost Gabe Davis. They did sign Curtis Samuel, and that's fine. So I know they're different players, but even if you say, okay, that's a wash, you know, a number two, and they're different types of players, then they took their number one receiver and went, oh, we're going to trade him away, when they already were looking at probably having to replenish the position in some way, especially near the top of the depth chart. So, yeah, I just have felt for so long that this has been the direction they're going to go, and I think, you know, to me, the only question really has been, and it still is, do they trade up to do it? Do they trade down to do it? Do they stay put? Who's going to be on the board? And I think those are things that there's no doubt there's a lot of great debate that can come along with it.
Yes, it's been really fun. Trading up to get one of the big three, the so-called big three receivers, maybe you have to get to 9 with the Bears, maybe you have to get even higher. I know you have a friend in Chicago, Chris Emma, who's been on our show and was on with, mm-hmm, you recently. Let's just start from the top here. Is that something you think the Bills would, like, really be trying to do to get to Odunze or Neighbors? Or is that more just something that's not out of the realm of possibility, but, you know, we're not expecting it?
Well, I think they'd make calls. I agree with what Brandon Bean said to us in the press conference last week, which is, I'm not going to get calls from teams in the top 10. He said, there's no rule that says I can't make the call, because it was in response. He wasn't like openly saying that. It was more of a response to a question when he said, well, there's no rule that I can't call anybody. He says, think they'll take my call? And I think that's him going, yeah, it's unlikely that I'll even get a chance to do that, even if I wanted to. But I do think he might make a call, to be quite honest. Let's see. You never know what a team says. Maybe a team surprises you and gives you a kind of deal that you really think you're willing to swallow and be able to do it. You know, I think that the conventional wisdom as of late has been trade up into the mid-teens or early 20s and get Brian Thomas Jr. But I'm going to be honest with you guys. I've seen, and we had on today on the Extra Point Show, Ryan Wilson of CBSSports.com. He has Brian Thomas Jr. falling to 28 to the Bills. You know who else does? I don't know if you saw this today. Charles Davis last mock today just came out. He has Brian Thomas Jr. falling all the way to 28 for the Bills. So if you want to kind of go up to get him, that's fine. And maybe you have to do it because you want to make sure you secure him. But you could also just kind of wait there. As far as the other guys, yeah, I think Odunze would be the dream scenario for Brandon Bean. But, man, I think you gotta see him get past 10 really for them to have a realistic shot.
The Thomas falling thing, Sal, do you know, do you suspect it's in direct relation to the news about an AC joint injury?
It's a good question. I don't know. It could very well be. We have a lot of information coming out, a lot of these guys now this week, right? Look at the things that have been, you know, talked about with Mitchell, AD Mitchell as well, and why his stock could be dropping because of that. We're going to start getting a lot of this stuff over the next even 24 hours. I think you'll be hearing things. So that could very well be it. I asked Ryan Wilson today, though, about it. Why did you have him falling? And he just kind of went through the board and said it just, you know, there were spots there where a team could take him, but they opted in another direction. And that could very well happen here. Look, for the Bills to go up that high, I'm actually working on a piece now. I'll have up later tonight and tomorrow for everybody to read tomorrow morning, definitely, which is where are the spots? Where are the sweet spots the Bills could actually trade to that I could see a team in that spot saying, we'll do this, and I'll give a reason for that, and also what it would cost the Bills. So I have, for example, and I'll just give you a tease, for example, right? Like, you don't have to give up next year's first to move up, even if you want to go to 19, let's say, with the Rams. And I know this because, at least based on past history, I've looked at other drafts. I've looked at other trades. A team that's gone up from late 20s to about 19, 20 doesn't always have to give up next year's one, but you're still going to have to pay a pretty price. Now, once you get to about the mid-teens, 16, something like that, then you're probably talking next year's one. You're going to have to do it. But if you told Brandon Bean right now that if he could make a move to get to 19 or 20, not give up next year's first, I don't know. That might be enticing for him to secure the guy that he wants.
With Sal Capaccio, here's what I've heard on Brian Thomas Jr., and I'm getting this from Scott Smith of 4for4, who was on the Establish the Run mock draft podcast. He talked about even having had this labrum injury that Thomas reportedly might be dealing with. He said that the injury goes back into the regular season at LSU and that he played through it. And one of the other panelists, one of whom was Evan Silva, who was on our show last week, said, well, I wonder why he just hasn't had the surgery yet. Like, if he has the injury, why isn't he, you know, dealing with it? So it's a little bit mysterious because it might be the kind of injury that would affect his rookie season if it's legit. And that would play into whether the Bills would want him, right? I mean, the Bills are looking for somebody to start.
Yeah,
and this could be relevant to them, but that's just I'm just sourcing that because none of that is from me, like, knowing firsthand. If not Thomas, and you mentioned Mitchell too here, Sal. It's interesting how, and this is not that rare, but you have sort of like this late buzz, which can work for a guy or against a guy. There's a whole lot to be said about where this information comes from, you know, agents or other teams even planting stuff. I don't know. I don't want to try too hard here, but. Like, if the Bills were not to trade up, couldn't they do all right? Like, especially if those two players happen to be sort of in a negative light at this point.
Yeah. So, my mock, I have at WGR550.com, I have Xavier Worthy. And I give a detailed explanation of why I have Xavier Worthy. But in that explanation, I also say, look, I mean, whether Xavier Worthy, and in the mock I have, by the way, those three, and Brian Thomas is gone, right? He's already been drafted. He goes 20 in my mock to the Pittsburgh Steelers. And I even write, hey, look, you want Xavier Legette? You can get him. You want Ladd McConkey? You can get him. Now, we can debate if you should take him there or if you want to trade down. You want Ricky Pearsall later? You can get him. There's still all these really nice players. You want A.D. Mitchell? Of course. I mean, that would be maybe the two guys you'd kind of debate. Even Ladd, I think. Ladd, you'd debate right here. But I have Xavier Worthy because I just, every time I do this, guys, I keep thinking, and you know, we've talked about this so much that I might be even sounding like just kind of repeating myself. But I just keep hearing Sean McDermott and Brandon Bean talk about explosiveness and talk about rack, explosiveness. And then I hear Sean McDermott at the owners' meetings talk about the way defenses have changed and how defenses are playing everybody and saying, yeah, you can't really go over the top. Now, if you can, that'd be great. And you can still take your shots. But, man, get the ball to playmakers who can make a guy miss and then you get a 20-yard play out of it. You can break something. That's this guy, man. Like, he does that. The concern, right, is he's small. He's 165 pounds.
Yeah.
But, you know, I mean, look at Devontae Smith. He's 170, and he had 90 catches last year, 2 years ago. He had 70 last year. And on top of that, the rules are obviously where you're not taking a beating at that position anymore. He has had, you know, you go look at Xavier Worthy's workload at Texas. He had a healthy workload.
Yep.
Right? I mean, yeah, he was not a guy they shied away from giving the ball in all situations. And the thing that tilts it over the top for me with him is he's a punt returner. He might be the best punt returner in the country, by the way. So even if he can't get on the field right away or all that much, you can use your first-round pick, and that's valuable to teams. So that's why I have him. But certainly if somebody said, I like Ladd McConkey more, I totally understand that. There is a really good, healthy group there if you get to 28 and those first four are gone.
What's interesting to me about how it sounds recently is like people like Miami for Worthy with his speed, like just sort of doubling down on their offense. Theo Greminger, who I had on my Deep End podcast last night, like he's not getting past Miami. Okay. And those teams from Indianapolis to Miami, you could look at, I've been saying this for 2 months. You could look at any of them either way. Could they justify a receiver in a receiver rich first round? Yes. Indianapolis, definitely. Maybe not Seattle. Jacksonville, Cincinnati with Higgins, the Rams with their age, and Pittsburgh, of course, has room. And then the Dolphins. But none of those teams has to do it either. Like, they all have other needs, and, you know, people love offensive tackle in this draft. Maybe they would all pick tackles. You know, there's also that argument. So, especially with it being the Dolphins, I wonder if the Bills would think, if they really want Worthy, that Miami is the team to beat.
Yeah.
And then you got to get to 20 or higher if that's right.
Yeah, I really wonder about that. Like, the idea of that guy with that speed added to that offense is maybe a little terrifying. And this idea, the Worthy idea, Sal, that you just presented, has grown on me as this has all gone
me
on.
Me too.
Like, I've been more focused on bigger guys. You know, just because, you know, Davis was such a big body and a willing blocker, and I would expect them to want some size on the field instead of a bunch of guys that are all barely 6 feet tall. But the speed factor with Worthy, I mean, you know, circling all the way back to after they lost the championship game in 2020, speed, yep. speed, and the Bills have never really had that guy. The idea of this guy on the field, yes, doing what you're describing, run after catch, turning, you know, short passes into long gains and explosiveness, excellent. Man, just the idea of teams having to respect that speed and opening things up for the other guys on this offense, Kincaid especially, Samuel, James Cook. Man, the Worthy, you do not have to work hard to get me on.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details.
Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This idea, even if I got to move up above Miami to do it.
Yeah, I love it. I love the way you think too, because there is still something to be said for taking someone, taking the top off the defense, even given all those things that we said. And I think the Bills recognize that. And to your point of what you said after the Chiefs game a few years ago in the speed, and the Bills have talked like that, right? They've talked about it a lot. Remember the quote Brandon Bean said a few years ago, like, yeah, I'd love to have a guy like Tyreek Hill. How do you get him, right? Like, it's just
right.
And then Tyreek Hill actually did get traded that offseason, by the way, to the Miami Dolphins. You know, but I think they also recognize this. You're talking about, you know, guys and where they could go. It's interesting. I don't see Miami taking a receiver. I think they're more offensive line focused or defensive focused.
Mm-hmm.
That would be there. But there are teams, I think, that could surprise you taking a receiver. And there are teams, I think, that kind of need one. Indy's right there. I think Pittsburgh. You know, people have said Brian Thomas Jr. reminds them of George Pickens, right? A guy like that. And that's, you know, you think about what Pittsburgh has had. Jacksonville could be a really interesting team after their offseason and losing Calvin Ridley. Is that a team that wants a receiver? So that's what Brandon Bean has to balance here about the move-up stuff, which is it's not just about, you know, going up to secure your guy. It's, you know, making sure that you kind of have the board read right and they're going through these exercises of who else might want to either be there and take them or move up to get there to take them.
Name of the game. Seattle, the one team in that pack that would not pick a receiver, almost definitely. They also have a history of trading down. I kind of think mm-hmm. for Seattle, just to plant this seed, again, this is also something I've heard, but maybe the quarterbacks, Nix uh-huh. and Penix, will be interesting to Seattle. History with the Washington coach in Seattle. Maybe if Penix were to, you know, not go to the Raiders, say, and then maybe that's something they would do at 16, which is not really expected, or the trade down mm-hmm. maybe they think would be good enough. I don't know. But they would be a team I would want to watch if for Bills fans who are, you know, trade up minded here going into tomorrow. Sal, we will, of course, talk tomorrow too. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, Mike, real quick. I have them. There's only four teams I've really kind of identified where maybe the Bills would target. They're one of them. And you said it too. They're never shy about trading. And that would be a team. And they also, by the way, the Seahawks, they don't pick again until the third round. They don't have a second rounder. They don't pick until 81. That's an interesting team, I agree.
Yeah, that would make sense for them then, especially. Okay, yep. One more sleep. Thank you, Sal.
Hey, you got it, guys.
That's our Sal Capaccio on the Western Hotline. His appearances are brought to you by New York's only outlet, Liquor. When you need to stock up, it's the place to buy a case. What's your outlet?
Your kids ever do it like that? How many sleeps?
One more sleep.
Till Christmas, till school's over.
Yeah, vacation. Yeah, 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 for sure.
That's how my wife counts.
Yeah.
How many more sleeps?
One more sleep.
Yeah. Until the draft. One more sleep.
For us, the very first big trip we took with the kids when they were, you know, I don't know, maybe 6 and 4, I remember Owen, that was one of these get up at 4 a.m, get on the road by 5 for Ocean City, Maryland deals. And Owen declared as soon as he got out of bed, I feel all jiggly. He's all excited about going on the trip. For us, I feel all jiggly is a go-to.
Are we feeling jiggly right now?
Yes.
The draft is coming soon. 803-0550, right back to your calls, if we get them, after the update. 5 o'clock, Chris Trapasso, his latest draft analysis here on the eve of the first round. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog, WGR.
Here's the thing. Minnesota
in my mind, is more desperate to get up there. Minnesota has more ammunition to get up there.
Mm-hmm.
But the Giants are within striking range of getting up there. So what in the end is more valuable? The more desperate team with more ammunition, or the team that's at six, to where the Patriots could go from 3 to 6 and still get the quarterback that they want if they're not leapfrogged at 4 or 5?
Adam Schefter with Rich Eisen breaking it down. Yeah, New England may be where the action starts here. If they want a quarterback, they can, of course, get one. It'll be understood and, you know, boring, but maybe successful. If they're not excited about their options at quarterback or just in general, then you could really see some heavy action up there. Giants, Vikings, Raiders, I think, might be an option there, too.
I wonder just how much teams, I mean, obviously it's going to vary from team to team, but how much of a difference they see in what we view as the consensus, like those top three guys, right? You leave Williams out of this, and maybe even Daniels too. But, you know, for the sake of it, fine. Put everyone besides Williams in the box. How much of a difference do the Patriots see, for example, between Drake May and Michael Penix Jr., or even Bo Nix? And if it's negligible, you know, this is the same theory as the receiver conversation. Like, if you can get the other guy and you like him almost as much and get paid to do it, go do it. You know, somebody wants to come up there because they love Drake May, but you don't. Okay. You know, just get out of the way. Go down there, and if you're happy with Michael Penix Jr. or Bo Nix, I suppose. I prefer Penix Jr., but what the hell do I know? You know, move down and go dance there.
I think teams more often will just, you know, they'll take the player they want as long as it's not especially nuts. But there, anytime, like, there is risk there in that plan.
Sure there is.
And if they bust on the gamble, they're not getting any of the quarterbacks, you know, probably. If there's only two that they like they lose out on McCarthy this way and maybe even Penix. Like, they have to be right. And the risk there, I think, means teams would sooner just take the guy that is considered a reach earlier and not risk it. I mean, I think Penix in the first round at all is crazy, let alone, like, three. But, like, to your scenario, if that's who they want, then they can think they can get away with trading down, or they can just do it. Man, that would just be incredible, though, right? I mean, Nix or Penix?
At that early? Yeah. Are we talking at three? I think that would be insane. Yeah. But I can't bet on everything, and I can't bet on where these guys are getting picked here in Buffalo. Should I drive to Pennsylvania?
You have to go to West Virginia.
Oh, that's so far.
It's all the difference. I would go to Pennsylvania. I will not go to West Virginia.
Right. Gotcha. Yeah. I want to bet on Penix Jr. being drafted in the first round.
Well, the odds are that he will now. Like, his over-under as of yesterday was 32.5, and the juice was toward the under. Okay. So, like, the odds are that he will be a first-round pick.
Well, then that's not my kind of bet.
No, it is definitely not your kind of bet or mine. That's right. Here is Dan with us. Hi, Dan.
Hey, guys. Kind of want to change my topic here and just maybe say something about Miami or the division. You know, in a draft like this, I don't see a reason to really go up because we're not trying to push through. We don't need that one player to go up and get us over the top. We just need a bunch of solid dudes. So, you know, I say just move back. And then, you know, there's nobody, you know, in this division right now that I think, just if we maintain our status quo and get a few guys, this team is going to either win the division or at least be a wild card. And then for Miami, why wouldn't they possibly take a quarterback and take Penix or Bo Nix, since that's kind of what they're going to do with the Shanahan system, instead of paying all that money to Tua, which we know what he is. Thank you.
Thank you. I do not expect Miami to pick a quarterback.
No, me either. I expect them to pay Tua and probably live to regret it. But, it's a tough spot. It's probably what I would do, too, if I were them. even though I know I might regret this, but okay. I mean, he's pretty good, so we got to pay him. I think the entire narrative about just get some dudes does such a disservice to how excellent Stephon Diggs was for this team, recognizing that he fell off a cliff here late in the year and did not produce in their most important playoff games. He was elite at receiver almost the entirety of his 4 years in Buffalo. And to say, like, I can just replace him with a bunch of dudes, I mean, I don't know. You might be right. Maybe that'll work. Green Bay does exist. They have kind of a bunch of dudes. And Kansas City does not have a number one receiver. So there are examples of it working. I mean, it's hard to work better than winning back-to-back Super Bowls if you're the Chiefs. But, man, this offense has hummed with a difference maker at number one receiver for 4 years. And I'm not ready to assume that the league has changed so much that I just don't need that and I can just get by with a bunch of dudes.
I think that's totally fair. I echo the sentiment about Diggs, but I do think if the wording is wrong, the sentiment is reasonable that there is talent. Green Bay has a lot of young receivers. They have only young receivers, but they're good. Like these are guys that were not picked. Well, Christian Watson was picked, what, early second? Jaden Reed, Dobbs, these are not – none of these is a first-round pick, the two tight ends. All young, and you have – Watson, the highest pick of them all, didn't even play. Like, he didn't even hold up physically either year, but they were very successful. That's a team, you know, you'd like to be right now. So that is a workable comparison for me. That's kind of like the idea in my mind. You're not drafting from scratch here like the Packers kind of were as of 2 years ago, but Samuel, Shakir, Kincaid, you like two more from this draft, at least one more from this draft is coming. You know, I'm working my way in that direction, and that's not trading up. So you're at the same time, I think you're not getting somebody, whoever you get is not likely to be as good as Diggs was ever. Maybe, but not likely.
Right.
But you can be the Packers are a good team to try to emulate.
The thing about choosing to do that, though, that I think matters is where they were when they embarked on that. Like, they were starting over, and they didn't really know what their quarterback was. And he's going to get on the field, and we're going to see if this works. And, like, it worked. It smashed. Like, the receivers are talented enough, and the quarterback they hit on. But as a model, they were in a very different place than the Bills are with Josh Allen at quarterback. And so, I respect what they've done. And the risk, I guess, they took in not heavily investing in top shelf guys, I think it's just different when you've got this court. Like, you're not failing anyone if you know you got to get guys for Jordan Love, but you don't know if he's that guy yet. And I think that changes the equation.
That's an interesting one to explore. Like, they had Rodgers when they did most of this, you know, and they traded Adams. They had Rodgers when they traded Adams, but. Yeah, I don't know. I guess I want to know more about, like, have...
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.
Their timeline better down than I do, but it is a team that looks pretty good without having gone super elite.
No argument
at receiver. Brian is next. Hi, Brian.
Hey, guys, as far as draft approach, I mean, I have to point the finger at Bean, and this is the reason why this team has plateaued offensively, and that's the reason why I think they can't get over the hump in the playoffs, is he added Diggs in 2020, and then he stopped. And there's been no elite player added since that point, and we all know the draft scenario with Bean, that the highest pick he took was the fourth rounder and Gabe Davis, and so I don't think you can just get this all in one swing. I think years of neglect on offense. I mean, they started to write that with Kincaid last year, but I do not want to just try and jump the gun and go all the way up to the top and blow all those picks just to try and get it all back. And, you know, with the hole of Diggs in your head, I think you got to build this offense back piece by piece, and you got to start building some speed into the receiving group, some size into the receiving group. And when I went to both games in Detroit, when was that, last year or the year before? I mean, you looked at our receiving core with Diggs and Davis, and then it was just small. I mean, across the road, there's nobody imposing physically in that wide receiver room, and now we're even more barren than we were before. To me, take the best receiver at 28, be patient. They're going to go in front of you. You got to stay patient. I would take a receiver there, and then the best offensive weapon at 60. And if Trey Benson's there, you can pair him with Cook, and you form a better backfield, or you double dip and take receiver, receiver. But you got to build this offensive back piece by piece. Allen is not Mahomes. We are not the Chiefs. You're going to need more firepower to beat them. I think it's clear, and I think it's the biggest reason why we lost the Bengals game, is we were punchless against that defense, absolutely punchless. So that would be my take. Don't blow it all in one shot.
Okay. Thanks, Brian. Would be the idea of the big move up. We've talked about, we've analyzed like how that can happen. And to my mind, like what happened, this is maybe too easy. The year they picked Allen was to trade Cordy Glenn. They used a player to get up some of the way. And then at the draft the night of, in the moment, to get the rest of the way. Like Sal pointed out, I'm sorry, this is not exactly on some of Brian's points, but like I'm thinking about Odunze, you know, Sal pointed out how Brandon Bean said, will they even take my call? You know, that kind of thing. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I think how it works is if you are going to shoot your shot at a trade like that, if I'm Chicago, you're going to need to make the offer. I'm not going to waste my time trying to come up with an offer. Like you have to be, you have to just take your chances with what you're willing to give up. And that kind of, because it's such a big move, that kind of offer can be one where Chicago might be like, oh, my God, okay.
Right, right.
Or it could just be like, yeah, no, we're fine. You know, this kind of thing happens all the time. So it's not like you're going to get the Bears to indulge you with, oh, let me know what you want.
Yeah, no, you're gonna have to write it down for them.
You're going to have to write it down.
You're going to have to tell them. And to my mind, I want to say I would be very surprised, if not shocked, if the Bears don't already know what the Bills would be willing to pay. Like, I think that is something you set up, because you don't know how it's going to go, right? So you don't want to be surprised if your guy, you want to know if they're going to be actually open to talking to you, right? So like if this or this happens and you're sitting there at 9 and I want a Dunze, like can I call you? And if they tell you no, then that's off the table. Then you'll go call somebody else. But if they, okay, well, tell me what you're willing to pay, and I'm going to go to auction here. You know, if there are four teams that want Rome Odunze because he fell to 9, which is barely a fall, really, but if he's there, I'm open for business. Who wants to pay the most? And I mean, that can get scary. Because once you're committed to a 1-4 and a 1-2 or whatever it's going to take to get to 9, like, and they go, well, we also want this. Like, I'm so close, right? I cannot burn this one more thing. I would really struggle with that. I hope Brandon Bean won't.
I do think the framework for these kinds of trades are already sort of established by the draft value chart. You know, you're not going to blow anybody's mind, unless you're like a team like the Bills or somebody that just like will go way above that. You're not right. Going to get anywhere going below it. You've got to at least get to the right. To the watermark. So
the threshold, yeah.
Yeah. And I think specifically, by the way, is my opinion on the Bears. I don't like it for the Bears because They're adding Caleb Williams. A receiver there is just incredibly fun and interesting. They could use an edge rusher too. I don't know if they're going to get what they want trading to 28. You know, that's what I mean by like the if the Bills were halfway up, then the teams that want offensive tackle can be fine moving to the middle. Edge rusher, I think, can feel good moving to the middle. Guard moving to the middle. But at the bottom, it doesn't. It's more like cornerbacks at the bottom of the first round. A very different deal, which might make Bean's job harder if he is really focused on moving up. Mike Schopen, the Bulldog. Chris Trapasso coming up in 15 minutes here on WGR. Welcome back. Mike Schoop and the Bulldog with Chris Trapasso coming up in 10 minutes. Did you see, just a short bit here, and then we'll get to the break and our next guest. Did you see Brandon Ayuk's Instagram story?
I saw a video of him dancing.
That was it.
Okay, so yes.
And what does it mean? Tell me. Tell us all. What does it mean? Is he on the move?
Yes.
Or is he just getting paid by the Niners? I'm sure that would suffice, right?
Yeah, probably.
Probably?
Yeah, probably would. I'm going to bet he's on the move.
Really?
Yeah.
I wanted to ask Sal how doable that is for the Bills. Anything is doable, I guess, right? The whole cap is a myth stuff. But I wonder like just how manageable it is for the Bills to be able to fit in Ayuk. Not even with respect to trade and draft picks and trade. Yeah, yeah. Just like if you trade for him, you are signing him to one of these big contracts like St. Brown and Devontae Smith that these guys are getting. So I would assume any team that trades for him would be ready to do that. Would that be what the Bills want? I think it might be a better play than, you know, certainly trading up for a receiver. I'd rather trade for Ayuk, not knowing, you know. Tell me what it costs, but he's proven good, you know?
Yeah, I, the thing that tangles me up on that is I just don't know. Like, Diggs cost a first. He had a contract in place. Now, the Bills modified that. Not immediately, though, right? That took until, like, because I remember when that trade got made, like, oh, well, here comes the extension, here comes the extension. And it, I think, if I remember correctly, which can be tricky, I think that waited because I remember feeling wrong about, you know, he's going to need a contract extension. But a player that doesn't have the contract, like you're buying the player, you're paying for the asset, but you're about to give them, you know, the four-year, $120 million deal, I feel like that brings the cost of acquiring the player down. So I don't think I should have to give up 28 to get Ayuk on my team if I'm going to pay him. Maybe next year's two that I got for Diggs suffices. San Francisco is said to be, if they're even listening on this, that they would want a first. Of course they want a first, but will they get it? Will some team pay it? I hope my team doesn't. I don't think you should have to. I think the contract is a big part of that.
Interesting. I think the comparisons are like Hollywood Brown and that draft. That was a higher pick and probably not as good of a player. And I think that was a one. I don't know. I feel like I'd want to – I'd have to get a one. But what am I going to do if I don't trade him? Like, do I want to sign him? Maybe I, you know, get stuck in that way like you're saying.
Yeah. I mean, he is under contract. It depends on how cooperative he is going to be moving forward if you don't give him the payday.
Chris Trapasso next. This is WGR.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.